This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Jackie Judd. In the American West, writers long have been inspired by the region's landscape. Characters and themes are sculpted by the land, whether it's picturesque and gentle or wide open and harsh. From the earliest accounts of life on the frontier to contemporary novels about the disappearing wilderness, place matters in Western writing. Morning Edition is marking the opening of NPR West, the network's new production facility in Los Angeles, with a series of profiles from the region. In the final installment of the series, NPR's Elizabeth Arnold visits with two Montana writers, one who is struggling to save the place he writes about, the other who left it in order to write.
Judy Blunt is a large, powerful-looking woman with chapped hands.
This is Judy.
This former ranch woman and mother of three seems out of place sitting in a cramped office behind a tiny desk at the University of Montana, Missoula. She's some 300 miles from Malta, where she was born into a third generation of homesteaders. But for Blunt, it's a lifetime away and she couldn't be happier. Here in this tree-lined college town, she works in between writing as an assistant to the English department. But it's her story, Breaking Clean, about leaving the homestead that made it all happen. Her memoir is in its fifth printing and has won national critical acclaim. And from the opening sentences, it's as spare and unflinching as the plain she grew up on.
I rarely go back to the ranch where I was born or to the neighboring land where I bore the fourth generation of a ranching family. My people live where hardpan and sagebrush flats give way to the Missouri River breaks, a country so harsh and wild and distant that it must grow its own replacements as it grows its own food, or it will die.
It's a story of 30 years on the ranch, working the tired soil through blizzards, fires, childbirth, divorce, isolation, and depression. It's about a life shaped by place.
Now, I think there's a difference in writing about a piece of land. Standing on the outside writing about it is a different thing. I wrote from inside the landscape. It is so much a part of the stories and so much a part of where I came from that it's like a member of your family.
But her memoir is also about a feeling of not belonging in the landscape, about suffocating in silence as a ranch wife, perpetually tired, cooking, cleaning, and working the land that's passed down to the men in the family, not the women. In her story, a woman visiting from town asks her if she ever gets out. Taken aback by the question, she focuses on digging potatoes.
The shovel bit savagely into the dirt, too close to the plant, and I swore at the sound of metal grating into flesh. Moving back, I stomped once and unearthed the split potato. A film of dirt clung to the exposed meat, and I rubbed the halves down my pants leg before hurling them into a bucket. I looked at this woman, her legs so solidly planted in the broken earth, and I wanted to swing the shovel. If it wasn't courage that let me live out here, what was it? Apathy? Ignorance? Struggling to keep my face empty, my jaw loose, I opened my fist and dropped the spade, my silence another sacrifice.
Blunt rarely goes back to eastern Montana, where her ex-husband and others are angry about their portrayal in the book. Yet even though she no longer lives there, she says she'd be at a loss to write about any place else. And she now knows there's no such thing as truly breaking clean.
I have to kind of smile sometimes. I read reviews once in a while that almost to a person, they are urban reviewers who will decry the lack of everything from bedroom scenes to, you know, the final blows at the end of the marriage, you know, what they want more of the breaking clean, what caused, you know, they want the marriage story. And the people from rural parts of the country will know that the breaking clean that I'm talking about, because relationship and land are the same thing in my life, that it was breaking away from the land itself that was the huge ranch.
Another few hundred miles from Blunt's tiny office, in the northwesternmost corner of Montana, Rick Bass has been writing about the land for 15 years. The Yaak Valley is a place of thick Douglas fir and golden larch in the heart of the Kootenai National Forest and home to less than 150 people. But unlike Blunt, Bass wasn't born into it.
Moved up here in 87 from Mississippi, and so I was, you know, like a pig in pie that first year. Just something unlocked in me that I hadn't realized was tight. My first thought was, my God, I wonder if I could live here.
Bass has 16 books, short story collections, novels, novellas, and nonfiction, most of which center on life in and around his cabin in the Yak, a life without power and running water, a life close to what's left of what's wild. Like so many places in the West, there's pressure to build roads and log here, and Bass, so captivated by the place and afraid of losing it, took up the struggle to protect it. Small and wiry, he scrambles up a high ridge, and although my legs are a bit longer, I can't match his gait. Stopping, he points out a 30,000-acre stretch of roadless land in the distance.
It's all totally uncut. You can see to the horizon just wave after wave of unending, uncut, unroaded forest.
Bass helped start up the Yak Valley Forest Council, dedicated to protecting the last roadless areas, and increasingly the cause has crept into his work, even his fiction. In his most recent collection of short stories, a logger succumbs to taking bigger trees to buy his wife a piano.
Billy knew, he sensed, something was getting out of balance whenever he cut one of those ancient trees. But he'd sit and rest after the big tree leaned and then fell, crashing slowly through the leafy canopy below, stripping limbs off other trees, even taking smaller trees with it, shaking the forest when it hit, making the woods jump. Billy would sit on a log and just breathe, he told me, and think about nothing but love, about Amy, and he would not move, he said, until he felt that balance, that strange stasis, return to the woods. The way he put it, what he was looking for, sitting there in the woods like that, barely breathing, was that he would wait until the woods had forgotten him again.
Bass is well aware of the influence his passion has had on his work, from his characters to sheer time spent away from writing, meeting with mill workers and lobbying Congress, but he says he can't ignore it.
I'm living where I want to live, and I'm choosing to do this stuff, so think how awful it would be to care this deeply about these wild places and not feel that you had a voice. You'd be really angry then.
He's not sure what kind of writer he'd be if he'd never come to the Yak, and can't imagine living and working anyplace else.
God, that's probably going to get me in trouble, but, you know, all things equal, I'd rather be called a Western writer than an Eastern writer. And I guess that's, you know, an allegiance or acknowledgement of the significance of place is one of the defining or uniting issues of Western writers. And it's because it still is a place, and that's great. That's fine and fair. It's the truth.
In a recent collection of essays Bass edited called The Roadless Yak, he writes of being dismayed by how futile the environmental fight sometimes seems, and he takes solace in the pace of a glacier.
I do not mean to dismiss our little fires, nor our fiery hearts. I mean only to remind us all that our lives, our values, are a constant struggle that will never end, and in which there can never be clear victory, only daily challenge, and that after the glacier passes over, all it will leave behind will be sentences and stories written in stone, testimony not to winning or losing, but rather simply what path the glacier took while we were here, and whether we were the mountain or the ice.
It's an apt metaphor, but for Bass, just as for Blunt, the land is more than metaphor. It shapes how they see the world and themselves in it, and then quite simply, what appears on the page. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Yak, Montana.